I mean, Nike and Adidas are always suing people. Mm-hmm. They think that every one thing about Adidas, you know, they have the three stripe. So we made a five stripe. They sued us. So fuck them. You know. Who is it?
It's gonna be interesting. Sunday night.
It's not just any normal Sunday night, Spencer.
Bro, I woke up 2 hours ago.
It is a Sunday.
Oof.
It's 7 p.m.
Did you guys get obliterated last night?
Yes, I was up till 8 a.m., dude.
What?
Dude, getting in scuffles with celebrities at their houses. I'm not gonna say any names.
Hey.
Say it.
Hey.
Say the name.
Do you hear what he's saying right now?
Scuffles. What?
Just use your head. Okay, we're fucked right now.
Do you get us in trouble? Are we gonna be sued?
This dude said something to like a girl, and I pressed him a little bit. Cause also I was bored. I get bored when I go out at parties, and I found a racquetball. And by the way, why are they so much bouncier than like the average tennis ball? Like,
so fun.
It's just, they're pure rubber.
Mm.
And so I was playing with this ball, and he said something, and then I was like kind of bored. So I pressed him a little bit. He's like, yo, he goes, you make YouTube videos. Don't act hard. I go, yeah.
Interesting.
Let's see how many YouTube videos I'll make tonight.
And he used that as his clapback. And by the way, like, I get it. Like, but it also is kind of a weird clapback.
That was.
You say, like, let's see how many YouTube videos I make. What do you do? Pull out his phone and count his uploads? Do you know what I'm saying?
He goes, you do YouTube, bro. You do YouTube. I go, watch me do YouTube right now. Come 2 feet within me. And, then his boys.
So it just probably confused him.
That's what
like
I'm saying.
It stunned him.
I said,
he's well, like, I mean, I was just, I don't know, I was hammered, bro.
I thought, imagine how funny it would have been if he was like, say it again, watch me do YouTube. And the dude said it again. He's like, good morning, Logan, what's popping?
And just beat his ass.
And beat
Yeah, you actually
up.
Tried to fight my girlfriend before leaving Andre's party.
I did?
Yeah. Yeah, so you were aggressive last night. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. You didn't really. It was a joke.
I was walking around the club yesterday with my fist bald.
Damn,
what's
dude.
Your problem?
Yeah, you've been a little aggressive lately. Like sometimes I just walk in and you just kind of like growl at me. It's just weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't call it.
You man. Have been though. He hasn't been. He's transitioning.
Yeah, it's
maybe that's not the right way to put it. That can't be the right terminology.
I don't know.
I
doesn't sit well.
Can I be completely honest?
Yep.
My brain doesn't work.
Okay.
Listen.
See, we went out last night. Went to the vegans party. We then went to the FaZe Clan party for FaZe Rug, which got. That's not right.
I think it's reversed.
We went to FaZe Rug's birthday party. It got shut down by the LAPD fucking riot squad.
Did the helicopters come?
I don't think so. But they probably should have invited 200 people to the party, like to keep it kind of chill. Tav, the dude from FaZe, probably invited like. There's probably, what, like 2,000 people there?
I don't know.
Dude, you're asking a guy's this guy questions. His brain doesn't work.
Yeah, fact.
I wasn't trying to be funny. Seriously, I think I got like a concussion or something.
From what? Last night?
Alcohol.
Damn, dude.
Alcohol driven.
Maybe you should get another brain scan, and then they're just gonna be like, dude, you no longer have a brain,
which sucks. Because that's actually dope. I think that's how Nate Diaz can get hit so hard and not get knocked out.
Yeah, punch drunk.
No.
His was surgically removed.
Oh,
he's got a walnut, right?
Yeah, because to get knocked out, your brain has to hit the edge of your skull.
Okay, so they could just get rid of the like
brain,
the brain.
Or did they get rid of his skull?
That's true.
Turn into like.
Should we bring the guest on?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think we have any choice.
I think we need him. Dude.
Yeah, we need help.
This is literally one of the.
Sunday
night, 7 p.m. We usually film at 1 p.m. during the week. This is a fucking strange one. Dude.
Yep.
There's no other way to say it.
It's gonna be good though.
For a lot of us, your older sister probably had a ton of these shoes in the house growing up. And for the others, we got to know a little bit about this man in The Wolf of Wall Street, for which his real-life involvement led him to prison. Here to tell us his story and celebrate 30 years of one of the most popular shoe brands in the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's Steve Madden.
It's all right, man. Go get it.
No,
did you have a stroke?
No, the sound cut out as soon as I said his name.
Oh, here we go.
So I heard this. Steve, welcome.
Welcome, Stevie.
Okay.
By the way, huge fan of you on Monday Night Football. Always one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. He's
Your voice great. Is profound.
Oh, yeah. You got to say it. Steve.
Steve Madden.
Steve Madden.
Steve Madden.
Yes.
So how are you, man?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here.
Is it
in the Valley?
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know the Valley. I've never really been here.
Where are you based?
New York City.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And what are you doing here in LA? Do you want a funny story? You want to know a funny story about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Aaron Carter gifted me.
Oh, that's cool.
The chain on his neck, and we had concerns about it being fake, and sure enough, we went on Amazon and bought this one for $20. This is supposed to have like 50 carats worth of diamonds in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the pendant was real, right?
The diamonds are real. The chain was not. The chain was fake, white gold, and cubic zirconia.
Have we heard anything back from AC? Is he kicking still?
He's not happy. He called me sneaky.
I'd like to get one made for me.
Oh.
I think you could
definitely pull it off.
Yeah. No, I think it'd be good. What do you think?
Yeah, let me get that open for you.
Yeah, let me try that on. I like that.
It's pretty hard to open.
Yeah.
Mr. Mad.
Yes, sir.
Steve,
yes, sir.
I call you.
You call me
Steve. I need you to point that mic up towards your mouth and basically
suck
on it, but not in so many less words. Because you got to speak up.
I got to speak up. How's my voice?
Sounds great. Sounds crystal clear. It's good having a fellow East Coaster on the show.
Yeah. Well, you guys are making a big impact. Oh, yeah. Look at this. I love it.
Oh, man. It might be a little too small, man.
Oh, it's too small. I look like Mr. T with it.
You've been hitting the gym a little too much.
You youngsters remember Mr. T, right?
I do, because I'm not young, Steve.
That's all right. Okay.
So you got into shoes at a young age.
Yes, sir.
And I'm reading here that you sold shoes out of your trunk.
I did.
What made your shoes a hit versus others?
You didn't ask me why I sold them out of a trunk.
Yeah.
But I lost my license.
Your driver's license?
Yes, I did. I had about 5 DUIs. In a very short period. Five.
You know what you get nowadays
five
for that shit, right?
Yeah. So I had a driver. I really couldn't afford one, but I couldn't function. So I had a guy in my building in New York City, and I said, look, I'll give you $60 a day. You just drive me around. And that's how we started. You got to do what you got to do.
Dang.
Yeah.
And why shoes? And were they women's shoes?
Women's shoes, yeah.
How come?
Well, today we do everything. Kids, men's.
I'm curious, like, were you, did you have like an eye for women's shoes or?
So I worked in a shoe store in high school, and that's how I got into it.
Really?
So yeah, that's it.
And you just said I could do this better.
I could do it.
What was the hole in the market that was missing or that you felt like you could fill?
You know, that's a very good question. And so in those days, that was like 1990. And everybody had forgotten about Gen X. They called it Gen X then. And everybody just forgot about the young girl. They were just making shoes. And so by accident or just like that, I started making kind of funky shoes, and they just caught on because nobody was doing it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a little bit of luck, but yeah.
I don't want to like go too long without saying this. You started selling shoes out of a trunk, and I'm sure there's some people watching the show, maybe some, because we have a younger fan base that might not know what Steve Madden is, but I'm looking at your 2018 sales here.
Yeah.
And it looks like, is this a Q4 figure, $410 million? That's a Q4.
The whole year was $1.4 billion.
Yeah, this year
now, people say, you know, $1.4 billion company. That's not what this is. This is $1.4 billion in annual revenue.
Yeah, well,
this
we do have sales. $2 billion this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It's something like that. I mean, our market cap, we're a public company, is over $3 billion. Yeah. So well, it started with $1,100.
Once you have a hot item and a shoe and a product that's working, how do you turn it into a global brand then?
So, you know, it's one foot in front of the other. I started with one shoe 30 years ago and one thing led to another and that was it. You know, now we have we sell around the world, Middle East, Israel.
Mm. Was like you shortened the process a little bit there for us. You had $1,100. You made a shoe.
Yeah, I did do a jump. I'm tired. That's why.
So are we, Steve. So are we.
You know, was it night in the Valley?
Facts.
I gotta. You know, I'm on New York time.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
There was a lot of steps. So, you know, I have an interesting story. I made a documentary. It's on Netflix and Amazon and whatnot. And, you know, I had a long journey. You know, it was a long journey. And I didn't mean to jump right to it.
It's fine.
But, you know, I did a couple of years in prison. I was involved with the whole Wolf of Wall Street gang and trying to raise money for my company. They were childhood friends. And so one thing led to another. And I went through that. And actually, you know, that actually helped me build the business. Now, why? You may ask why. And I will tell you why. Because it forced me to hire a whole team, which mm-hmm. is what most founders don't do that, right? Everybody tries to do everything themselves, right?
Why do they do that, by the way?
Because they're fucking they don't wanna pay people? Egomaniac motherfuckers who want to control everything. I shouldn't. Can I have my
say whatever the fuck
my
you want?
My kids watch this. They love you guys. Yeah. Well, my kids love you guys.
We'll try to believe
they really do. That's why I'm here. They love you guys.
Hey, fun fact. I just FaceTimed them before this podcast, and his daughter goes, "Logan, they should have taken away those 2 points." And I was like, I know, sweetheart.
She's wise.
Shout out Goldie.
Goldie, Stevie, and Jack. Yeah.
Stevie was the one.
Yeah, Stevie.
Backtracking a little bit, was the shoe industry a lot easier to get into back then? Do you think it's like too saturated now to start a business?
Another great question. Actually, I thought we would be joking around tonight, and your questions are as good as when I go to big panels.
Oh, we're gonna get there.
No, yeah, maybe not.
We're all over the place.
Whatever. But no, today it's driven by sneakers. So there's so much, and I know a lot of your friends have deals and all of that, and you know, like that. But we do a lot of shoes, and we do sneakers too. But it's difficult today. Mm-hmm. It is, because Nike and Adidas are, you know, so powerful.
Stranglehold.
Yeah.
What would be that business if you could pick now today? If you were slanging something out the back of a truck, what would it be? Do you see an opportunity?
Yeah, I'd probably like iPod chargers or something.
Wow. iPod chargers, well, probably.
iPhone. Everybody's like, everybody my age is always looking for a charger. It's really unbelievable.
Hold on a sec.
I lost 3 last week.
Yeah,
but like, to his point, in a saturated market of iPhone charger dealers,
yes,
they're selling iPhone chargers everywhere.
Yeah, but it's the core.
When's the last time you saw someone who was selling iPod chargers? Hell, I'm not saying there's a need for it. That said, if you want ownership,
yeah.
You got it. Dude,
you got it, because
nobody else is fucking doing it, bro.
We
got
to find the BlackBerry guys and
facts.
Regenerate
Razors.
Them. Yeah, Razor guys. Yeah.
How close was that representation of you in Wolf of Wall Street?
It was really good. It was really good. And as much, you know, like I wasn't into it. And I thought, oh, shit, I don't want to talk about this part of my life. I don't want it to be brought up again. But we eventually worked with the film. We joined their team in a way. They wanted to use commercial and film in our store and stuff like that. And it was very accurate. Surprisingly, it was a great film. You know, I was nervous watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a terrific film. And, you know, my hat's off to them. But that scene, there was a scene with me. It was...
You're in like the boardroom, right?
Yeah.
No, you were in the whole office.
I'm in the office. I'm nervous. It's 400 gorillas. It's screaming at me. They're going, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, my shoes are intact. You know, like shut the fuck up. They're throwing shoes at me. All calling me names, and it is exact. And Jordan came over and hugged me, and he said, "No, this guy, he's going to be very big," and he was right. And but it was like that. It was kind of freaky how they captured it. They made it funny, but you know, I flopped. You know, I just flopped. And I thought I was so cool. I got it in front of these kids.
You know, we had Jordan on the show.
Yes, yeah. I saw a little bit of it.
It was interesting to say the least.
He's a brilliant guy.
Yeah,
he really is.
Are you still tight with him?
No, we don't. We don't. You know, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him around. You know,
no hard feelings, right?
You know, actually, you know, so we were talking about it. I don't really have any hard feelings. I actually wouldn't be here today without him, to be honest with you, because he was so smart and he was a great teacher for me. And we bonded because he saw me as being an entrepreneur and he was an entrepreneur. And, you know, he was a little frustrated because he was, you know, there was a lot of legal stuff and he put a lot into me. And so I got a lot from him. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't end well.
Yeah, isn't he the reason you went to prison?
Well, he was one of the reasons. You know, he testified against me, and but I forgive him, and I broke the law with him, and I don't blame anybody, and you know, net, it was a positive. You know, I don't see him, and that's cool. You know, it is what it is. He's doing well.
Yeah,
and I think his son is going to intern at our company.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even know if he knows that.
Do you think there's any such thing as bad press?
I do.
You do?
I do, yeah. I do. Because I mean, you guys are like on it. I'm from a different generation. But there's bad press, you know. I mean, we were talking about Bella Thorne, you know, who I had dinner with the other night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had something going on with some...
The league.
Yeah, naked stuff or... Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't think any press is good press. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm the same way, by the way. I remember...
Yeah, there's extremes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Like, you know, they say all publicity is good publicity.
No, that's bullshit.
That's just not true.
No,
I'd much rather just try to stay positive in the view of the people.
And you want to stay true to yourself.
Yeah.
You want to be to thine own self, be true, you know, but it's not good. I've had a lot of terrible publicity.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You know,
I pulled up some. You've been sued a lot.
Yeah,
like a lot.
Yeah,
and is
it's part of the business.
I was gonna say our law. So you know,
it's part of the business. You know, you take a sneaker, you see an idea, you're making another shoe, you adapt the idea. I mean, Nike and Adidas are always suing people. Mm-hmm. They think that every one thing about Adidas, you know, they have the 3-stripe. So we made a 5-stripe. They sued us. So fuck them. You know, so we do a 4-stripe. They would do a 7-stripe. I mean, they don't own, but they think they own all stripes.
Yeah.
You know,
they own the flag. Where does it stop?
The sergeants, 3 stripes. Yeah. They sued the you know the police, the army.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and so we get a little bit of that, and then we had a little thing with Gucci.
I have called Gaia is suing Steve now they have, for $15 million.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
You don't even care. Some of the ones you don't even care. Like, do you give a who gives a shit?
We're suing Gaia, that Gaia guy back.
Counter suing.
Yeah, it's about a specific bag that is a Japanese heritage bag that they are claiming is theirs.
How often are you taking the hit on these lawsuits? Do you ever lose?
We settle. We beat them. You know, it hasn't, you know, I know that if we're doing our job right, we should have a pile of them over here because we're seeing so much out there interpreting. But I will tell you that Steve Madden, the brand, is the most copied shoe brand in the world. If you go to China, they are copying my shit like crazy.
Are you still conceptualizing ideas for shoes?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the majority?
Mostly women's shoes. I don't really have you know, men's is the, you know, I like, what I wear is, I wear combat boots and shit like that. So that I've had a little influence on the line, you know, with combat boots and sort of what they call engineer boots and things. I like that. That's what I wear. Mm-hmm. And, but women's, I'm always working on women's shoes. Always.
I'm
I guess I'm still just fascinated. Like, if anyone told me to design a women's shoe, I don't really know what I would do. I'd probably combust.
No, you wouldn't combust.
Internally,
you'd figure it out. You're very creative. You'd figure it
out. But did you have a woman in your life who you would have her try on the shoes, or test or ask her opinions or anything?
Of course, you always do that. You know, like old, you know, there's nothing like a woman puts on a shoe and the way they move in the shoe. It's just, it blows your mind. It really does. It's very inspiring.
When did you know you wanted to design women's shoes? Like, how do you get to that point in your life? Like, so you grow up, you're a kid. I'm assuming you're from New York. You probably played baseball, shit like that, right?
Little golf, baseball. Golf, I wrestled. Nice. You could see by the body.
No, amazing.
You could see.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
When did you say, I'm going to flip a switch and design women's shoes?
So, okay. So that's another good question. So there was a point in my life where I was working. I was like 23 or 24 years old. I was in a factory somewhere and I was selling shoes, you know, and then the designers weren't around and I started playing around in the factory. Just let's take the top of that shoe and put it on that bottom. And I started doing that, and we made the shoes, and they sold like crazy. And I, you know, I sort of had a little knack, you know, a little feel for this thing.
Do you ever get any shit from your homies, like for designing women's shoes?
Of course.
at what point did you
When
stop?
I was a kid, they used to make fun of me. Well, there was a show, before all of your time, was called Married with Children.
Of course.
Al Bundy.
Fucking Bundy.
They used to call me Al Bundy.
Oh, yeah, because he was a women's shoe dealer.
Al Bundy. At what point? You can call me Al Bundy.
Al Bundy was the fucking man.
Yeah, he was cool.
Okay,
yeah.
He was chilling. Nothing stressed him out.
You know, in those days, back in the day, and where I'm from in New York, that people lived in the suburbs, kind of like Encino. But in New York City.
Whereabouts?
It was the South Shore of Long Island called the Five Towns, a place called the Five Towns.
I'm from right across the water in Connecticut.
Okay. Yeah. So the big thing was, you know, you got out of college, or maybe you didn't make it through college, like me.
Yeah.
And you went into the city and you worked in the city.
Yep, yep.
You rode the train in, you know. And I stayed home in my hometown and worked in a shoe store, got abused by women. And, you know, but I, you know, it was like boot camp for me, pardon the expression. You know, it was like, amazing. I got bloodied. I got beat up. Women, you know, torture you. And, you know, you learn. That's how you learn the business. You know, you learn it right there on the floor. And that's what I learned. You know, you could tell a woman puts a shoe on, what she says, how she cavorts in front of the mirror. And you get a feel for, you know, what she likes.
Did you ever get hit by a shoe?
I had a girl throw a shoe at me. Yeah.
Is it one of yours?
That's another story for another day. We come back. Part two.
It's really cool to hear you talk about the way you perceive shoes. It sounds like you're describing art in a way. Did you always have a creative bone in your body?
But let me address that also, because it's art, but it's business. And I'm turned on by, what turns me on is when the intersection of art and commerce, as you guys are, obviously.
Culture, yeah.
So in other words, I'm not just into making shoes if they don't sell. I have no interest in that. It's boring to me.
Yep.
On the other hand, I don't want to make shit that sells that I don't dig either.
Yeah.
So there's a combination where you want to hit that, you know, hit that the right way.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about for me.
You pay attention to all the trends. You have any thoughts about the current? You watch what Virgil does and Off-White. Do you pay attention to all that shit?
Of course. And he's amazing.
Yep.
And I'm always hearing about Virgil wherever I go.
Kind of the king.
Yeah,
kind
he's the king. He's the man. And, you know, we both won awards at something a year or two ago, and he gave me a shout out. It was nice. I think my kids were there.
Nice. That was probably a big...
Yeah.
Well, they're too young to know about Off-White and shit.
Oh, no, they are not.
Really?
No. Logan Paul, Off-White. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. As you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Whoa. What was I going to ask? I want to talk about this, your involvement with Stratton a little bit, because that whole thing is absolutely crazy.
We're talking about Stratton.
Yeah.
Probably the most famous pump and dump.
Pump and dump.
Of all time. Yeah. And, you know, that's not the only one, but definitely one of the biggest. How did that come to fruition?
So the guy So Jordan's guy, Danny.
Yep.
Who was
played by
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Infamous fucking Jonah Hill role.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was fucking incredible. He did a great, he should have won an Oscar, should've. That guy. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
So Danny was a childhood friend. We were like, you know, we were like in second grade together. So he comes along and he knows that I'm a sort of struggling, talented sort of dude. And he says, look, I can raise you money, you know? And I met this guy, Jordan. He's a genius. And I can get you money. Me, I've never had more than, my bankroll was like 15,000. That's like the biggest I ever had in my life. I don't even know if I had that. But, you know, it's like, he says, well, we'll raise you 600 grand. And then we'll get you 7 million. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. It was like, might as well have been,
pipe
might as well have said 6 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that was it. And then they came through. And it was.
Did it happen so fast that like you said yes to something and then you're like, yeah, because that's going to happen. And then all of a sudden you're fucking over your head.
That is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe, yeah, you're going to get me 6 million bucks. Yeah. You know, I'm struggling. I'm hustling, you know. And they did. And it was an intoxicating atmosphere. What Jordan did is so incredible. And, you know, I've read interviews recently. I saw something he said that he should be a billionaire. And he should be a billionaire. He really should.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was incredible. And I've never seen anything like this. It was unreal. But, it was a lot of stuff. I mean, everything that went with it in the movie, you know, the girls and the boats and
the Quaaludes.
The Quaaludes.
Yeah.
How much involvement did you have with, like, that stuff?
I know about Quaaludes. I'm an expert on Quaaludes.
Uh-huh.
But by that time, I was not taking Quaaludes. Mm. But when I was in college, that was the drug of my generation. It was the most incredible drug of all time.
The Ludes.
But those guys got Ludes. Like, they must have been what they call bootlegs. Do you guys use that word?
Yeah, I do. Knockoffs.
Yeah, no, they call them, no, this is called a bootleg.
Oh, an actual,
that's a drug word, bootleg.
Yeah, like a shitty.
They made it some, you know, bogus pharmacy.
Right.
You know, gets the recipe.
Yeah.
And they make them.
Yeah.
And that's what Jordan was, and the guys were.
It's like a moonshine, but for.
Like moonshine. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a crazy job.
So how long did you do all that kind of stuff for? Because I've read about your trials and tribulations with.
Yeah. Well,
with
I got sober before I met those guys.
Really?
Yeah.
So how
yeah.
old were you?
I got sober at 30.
And stayed sober?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Through
yeah.
that long, environment.
That's a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
We've had our
yeah. But I was crazy, man. Lunatic.
Yeah. Wow. In what other departments?
No, and in drugs and alcohol. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have something that made you want to go sober? Was there an incident or did you just realize
I was just so such terrible shape that you know, it was like either do that or die. Or I don't know what, but it was bad. And I really was you know, the way the fervor that I put into the shoe business, I put into my drug use.
Yeah.
And I was like, a billionaire, except I had no money. But
you're an addict.
Like,
you're an addict. Yeah, you're an addict's
like,
addict.
Let's
you know?
Go, baby.
I feel like that's so many
it wasn't
stories.
Enough.
It really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it wasn't enough.
You channeled it towards something positive.
You know, I want to say something about that too.
Yeah.
Because and this is important, you know, to the people that don't know, they'll say, well, you know, it's willpower. Just don't use. And it's not about willpower. You know, getting sober is not about willpower. Okay. Because it's a disease. And, you know, I always say to people, well, imagine if you had terrible diarrhea, you wouldn't be able to will yourself to not, you know, go to the bathroom.
Yep.
You wouldn't be able to, because you couldn't help it because it's like that, you know, and drug addicts are the most willful people in the world. They have more willpower. They'll figure out if there's none, their shit is not around, you know, they'll figure out a way to get to the moon to cop, you know, they'll come up with something, you know, 4 a.m. You guys may know people like that.
I know a person very much like that,
you know,
myself,
you know,
I was a drug addict for 10 years.
Yeah. But you just figure out a way to cop.
Yeah.
unbelievably ingenious ways, you know, to fucking cop, right?
I know it.
Yes.
Yeah, so. I mean, you see it all. You see people on the streets right now, you know, changing in bottles and, you know, whatever. There's a lot of people that sell drugs to get drugs. There's a lot of people that steal from houses. There's people that forge checks. There's people that forge prescriptions. Yeah. I mean, the world of addiction is a whole nother world that people don't know exists under the shadows of the world that we exist in. There's a whole another environment of people that spend every single day of their lives trying to get their fix. Yeah. And it's a wild, wild, wild place. And there's no rules. And it's, you know, I talk about it a lot in my book when it comes out in March. It's a crazy fucking place, dude.
And I know a guy that took a hammer and smashed his fingers so he could go to the emergency room to get pain pills. Yep. That blew.
Wow.
That
was real.
I swear to God, I know. I saw the guy.
I mean, you got to want it.
No, I mean, that's what I mean. You talk about willpower.
Got to want it.
That's fucking willpower.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's no, there's no limit. I mean, I saw the amount of people I saw that were, you know, straight A students that, you know, 2 years later, they were, you know, 1 year they were about to finish their bachelor's and two years later, they're literal prostitutes, you know, selling their bodies to get heroin.
Jeez.
It's, and I mean, quick, like you'd never believe it. You're like, oh, how's so-and-so doing? Oh, I mean, she, and by the way, like ask a year later and she's dead now. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
nuts.
It's wild. I think it's a world that a lot of people choose not to see. And by the way, rightfully so.
Did you know,
I wouldn't want to fucking,
did you know, like Kennedy was like on, I'm pretty sure it was meth at like his doctor was prescribing.
I know a little bit of it.
It was like methamphetamines, right?
No, he used to get a shot. There was a doctor in New York who gave these guys shots and it was like B12 and crystal and methadrine.
Crystal meth, yeah.
You know, mixed up a lot of vitamins and they take this shot. They called him Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah.
Oh, boom. Shit. Yeah.
Hitler had a guy doing that too. That's why like Hitler just lost his mind. All these different like big leaders, like just back in the day, it was common.
Yeah. Didn't you tell me that the Germans in one of the world wars were all on meth?
Yeah.
Did you tell me that? Is that true?
Yeah, so they...
David, is that true?
David, can you confirm?
Were your ancestors on meth? Ritalin?
Yeah,
Ritalin.
It was an amphetamine. They would... the Germans were known during World War II, like right at the end of World War I, they started attacking neighboring countries, and they did this in a strategy called Blitzkrieg. And they would just go. Like they would do it, like go all in. And so all of them were taking this drug. It started with a P. I forget what it was.
Uppers.
Yeah.
Uppers.
And so these people that were getting attacked by the Germans are like, what the hell? These people are superhumans. They were going like 3 nights, no sleeping, just like go.
Now they do it and they Blitzkrieg Walmart.
Now that's they're still doing Blitzkrieg.
Well, pilots
it's in Costco.
Pilots take amphetamines
to stay awake.
Yeah, I mean military guys.
Yeah, drugs are weird, man. There's so many goods and so many bads, and the line
there's no shortcut.
It's so blurry as to when it turns from a good thing to a bad thing, and how quickly that can happen is like mind blowing.
So if you're dying of cancer. And they got drugs that,
OxyContin was obviously
all that shit, right? I mean, it's like you're dying and you're like, it's so bad, whatever. They give you fentanyl, they give you all this stuff. Yep. And then people took that and they ran with it.
Yeah.
And opiate addiction is a terrible thing.
Yeah, taking the country over, big time.
It's very addictive. I think if you do it, it's right away. It gets you right away.
Yeah, that's what oxys were originally made for, is for stage 4 cancer patients.
Right.
End of life. Yeah. Take these pills so that you don't die in agony. And then they started getting marketed to people who had broken femurs, and then it kept trickling down from there. And before you knew it, you're in Florida buying 360 oxy 80s for fucking a broken finger. You know what I'm saying? And that's how Purdue, eventually met its downfall, and they're still trying to wiggle out of billions of dollars in lawsuits.
It was $7 billion?
Yeah. Yeah. One
of the Sackler family.
Sacklers.
Mm. Yep. The Sackler. Do they live in Encino? I think they live down the block.
Those sons of bitches.
Don't fucking tell me that. Let's go. Nah,
if my mom saw that, dude, she would fly. No.
If you see a fire in Encino soon, just don't. No
one,
not a,
no one hates the Sackler family more than my fucking mom. Just trust me.
Something I see a common trend in people that go through addictions. They come out on the other side and they find something that they're passionate about, that they're connected to, and like whether it be giving back, whether it be putting out, content, whatever.
Yeah.
What's your thing?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. You know, giving back is good. The more you share, the more you have. And, you know, when, you know, I got a bunch of friends that, you know, we have the same thing and we hang out and it helps us all. And, you know, I guess I put it into work too. And, you know, the Stratton thing. So I was sober, but like now I was into money. Mm. So it was like a whole other trip that I was on, you know, which was like being greedy and nothing's ever enough. Mm. And, you know, so that's like a, it's kind of, people get into gambling and shit like that. And, you know, yeah, that's why you kind of, that's why there are programs for all that. You kind of have to learn how to live life. Food addictions are huge.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything you do too much of is.
Yeah. Food addiction.
Even money. I mean,
food addiction is a big one.
Yeah. Mm.
And then of course, sex addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. We got somebody on
like
the set
Logan.
Here.
That, he's got that problem. We have to deal with it. We're going to have to, he's going to have to go to meetings.
I don't even like sex.
Nah.
Yo, okay. I'd be down to go to a
essay.
What is it?
Sex Anonymous.
Sex Addicts Anonymous?
Yeah. Yeah, just to have more sex.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I wouldn't be there to stop trying to have sex. I'd be there to be around women who are also.
He does, by the way,
entered you, child.
He does not have a sex addiction. I know people that truly have sex addictions. He ain't one of them. There are people. Trisha Paytas was admittingly had a sex addiction. Yeah. She needs to have sex 10, 15 times a day.
Yeah, that's a little. That's like this kid,
if he gets it twice a week, he's fucking happy as a clam, dude. That's plenty for him, bro.
All right. Cut that out. But anyway, you know, whatever. I mean, there's all sorts of addictions. And food is a big one. Ooh. You know, people eat to stuff their feelings. You know, they get a little.
Emotionally.
Yeah. It's a big deal. Yep. Yeah.
You said you got addicted to money. I looked up your net worth. It said $300 million.
That's all?
So.
that's bullshit.
It's more than that?
It has to be. Are you
worth 1.4
B, boys?
No, I can't tell you that. But, yeah, I'm worth a few dollars. But, you know.
You got some money.
I got some dough.
And I wanted to ask you, do you have something that you
I
own?
Snort money now.
You snort. You grind it up, shred it up, and snort it.
Yeah. What do you sniff it through? Not another dollar bill.
It better be new bills too.
Yeah,
you'd be surprised what you could do with shredded money. It cures AIDS. Well, it did in a South Park episode. That's how.
Okay.
Then it must so be accurate.
Must be true. Then.
Yeah, I didn't know where you're going with that.
Yes,
South Park's based in reality.
It's science based. 100%.
I was going to ask you: do you have something that you own? That is your favorite thing that you bought? I mean, what do you really do with all that money?
You know, that's a good question. What do I own? You know, I mean, I'm not really, I'm kind of a simple cat. You know, I don't really, I might fly around private jets, but that's about it. I mean,
so then how
I have
come
a few cars. I have a Corvette. I love that.
How come you're addicted to making money then?
No, I'm not really anymore.
Okay.
No, that's over with. I'm just saying that, you know, when you're young, you're coming up, you're switching addictions, you're becoming a lunatic. Yeah. And, but no.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So what's the point? I mean,
I know like, where you're headed. You're headed to the ultimate.
Yeah. What are you going to do with all that money?
Listen, we should do like a 5-hour show on this. I mean, it's a big deal. You need a purpose in your life. Today I have my children, which is a big deal, but that's not everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I love my children. It shifts a little bit to that. And then, you know, you try to be a good citizen, one thing, I feel like I've won, right? So you have to be generous about it. You can't be an asshole, you know, and I don't need to be the smartest guy all the time or like correct people or, you know, let's say I'm with someone and I know that they're being an idiot friend or that they're wrong about something. I don't need to like, no, or I don't need to say that I've done this better or I've been there, you know, which I used to do, right? I mean, it's kind of bragging and stuff like that. So now it's...
You've had the ego kind of pulled out of the equation a little bit.
We say, my ego is not my amigo.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I love that.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
Egos are the worst.
Yeah, it is
I've seen so many people fall because of their ego.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it in many ways, your ego is like a form of protection, like insulation almost for yourself. I think that's why human beings have egos.
Yes.
To protect their worth in a way.
Right. That's true.
But also, it can just, it can quite literally screw you over.
It can.
In my life, even like very close personal life, I've seen relationships severed because of an ego, business opportunities lost because of an ego. That happens
totally,
all the time.
All the time, yeah. I'm dealing with that too. I still deal with that every day. You know, guys, you know, we have to accept the state of things, and people, you know, have an unrealistic view of themselves, and it gets in the way.
I try to give people the benefit of the doubt if their ego is warranted. Like he'll tell you, like if you're like insanely successful or insanely talented, that specifically, I'll let it slide a little more.
So you'd let Drake slide?
Yeah, yes.
You'd let Drake?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would be stunned if he did not have an ego.
Right.
Like and by the way, he doesn't seem like a dude with a crazy ego.
Yeah, he's not. He's pretty chill. The best ones are always the ones that when you say that, like we hung out with Abel last night.
I was gonna say this. So I had a conversation with Abel, who's the Weeknd.
Yeah.
Insanely talented.
Legit, like, one of the coolest celebrities I've ever met.
Yeah.
He was so chill.
Yeah.
Regular dude, no ego at all.
Yeah.
Always the most refreshing thing when you meet, you know, some massive celebrity that you know, has every right to be the most ego driven or whatever, and they come up to you and, hey, I saw your fight, man. Like, that was dope. Like, congratulations. Yeah, yeah. They're just cool people, down to earth. Like, you know, that's always the most refreshing thing for me to see. And that's what I aspire to, no matter whatever happens in this life, to just treat everybody equally.
So that's the paradox, right? Because if you really own your success and you own how good you are, then you can be generous with people and you don't have to tell them how great you are. And you can be a nice guy, you know, be a good sport. Drake should be a good sport because he's the king, right? I mean, he's just killing it. So he can be a good sport with all those young cats out there, you know?
At Tyler Creator's music festival.
Oh, that was crazy.
Can't Flog Gnaw. Yeah, he got booed. He got booed off stage because everyone was expecting Frank Ocean to perform. Did y'all see how he handled that?
Amazing.
Did you see how he handled that?
I didn't. What happened?
It was incredible. I forget what he said. He said,
you know, as long as you want me to keep going, I'll keep going. I'll go all night if you want. And, you know, you guys let me know. And there was a couple people in the audience that booed. He said, thank you so much for having me.
My name's Drake.
Yeah. Walked off the stage. Like, not, he wasn't mean about it. Like, that one really fucked me up because I just imagined, like,
wait, how many people booed?
It wasn't a lot.
It wasn't the majority.
It was just like it was a pocket of people. You know, I mean, that was a weird situation. Flog Gnaw is not a Drake scene. It's just not. Like, he shouldn't have fucking been there. Like, I think that was a weird situation with Tyler. And Tyler tweeted the next day. You could probably pull up the tweet. We can't show it because the TV's fucked up. But Tyler tweeted and said, like, you know, how fucked up are you guys? Like, I thought I would bring one of the biggest entertainers in the world to Flog Gnaw, and you guys, you know, treated him horribly, and it was a messy situation.
It's really tough.
I met Drake.
How's that?
He was great. I met him at a Maxim party.
Nice.
Really?
He was such a gentleman. And he, you know, like the whole Wolf of Wall Street, he was like, yeah, you know, he wanted to know about it, and he was awesome.
Nice. Do you think it's possible to make it to the top without an ego?
Maybe not. Mm-hmm. Maybe not possible.
Top of one industry.
So here's the thing. While he was talking, I was thinking of that. You know, so ego, there's the good bits about ego, right? Ego makes us, you know, want to be the best. Ego makes us work hard, you know, showing up, you know, staying strong.
Confident.
Physically, mentally, and spiritually, right? That's all the good stuff about ego. But where it gets bad is you start treating people like shit and doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Mm. You know, just being self-centered all the time and not thinking about other people. So there's like two sides to that. And it's easy to go over to that other side. You know, you have to, and also with Drake, let's just say, both of us, or all of us, you know, people are nice to you all the time and you get your way, and you have to learn that sometimes it's not really real, right? It's just, you know, like, listen, It's happened to me. I've been out, like, let's say out with friends someplace, and nobody's paying any attention to me, you know. And then all of a sudden they hear who I am and they're like all up my ass. Mm. So you have to be able to know, you know, that's maybe a gift that when you know, you know, what is real and what is not real. And even if you know it's not real, you can be generous about it, right? Mm. Even if you know that someone is just doing it because whatever, right? But you can be generous about that and say, okay, I understand the way it is. The way the universe is, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm lucky, you know, and so I can be nice about it.
That's huge.
I love watching. One of my favorite things too is to see big celebs that don't have that, like, or not big celebs, but big, like, you know, titans of industry or whatever, that don't have that initial, like, they don't have that desire to tell people who they are. And yeah. So Steve Madden will sit at a fucking dinner for an hour, you know, with people talking about how they're planning to make $300,000-$400,000 the next year. He's sitting there making, you know, whatever amount of money and then just doesn't say anything about it. I love that humility. Yeah, and man, anytime you see that, that's another super refreshing thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. When do you step in? And if you see someone with a really big ego and they're hurting a bunch of people, when do you step in?
You know, well, you know, now I try to avoid people like that. You just, you run from them.
Yes.
And kind of don't kick it with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their lifespans are short anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So. Especially the really bad ones. I think another thing that ego is important for too, at least somewhat, is in a leader. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because especially in business, like, celebrity is a little bit different because a lot of those times they don't have to lead a group of people. But I think ego, like you said before, slightly ties in a little bit with confidence and the ability to tell someone else what to do.
Yeah.
It's such a weird, but then it's really got to walk that line though.
I think my mentor, Bob Proctor, always, he put it in I think he called it the empathy ego balance.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you were describing. Like, you got to have empathy. Yeah. And that's something that I feel like we always challenge ourselves here on this camp.
Yeah, there was a guy, I'll tell you a story. I had a long time ago, I had a buddy, and he was a stand-up comic. And he was so fucking funny, this guy. His name was Rick Shapiro. And I don't know, he works, he's around LA or some shit, but you know, so I thought he was so funny. I said, I'm going to manage you. You know, you are so funny, right? So anyway, I don't know where we were. We were driving in my car and there was a grocery store. I said, we both smoked at the time. And I pulled over. I said, yo, Rick, go get us some Marlboros.
Oh no.
Yeah. Like, I didn't say it like,
yeah,
I command you to get us Marlboros. Yeah. I said, yo man, let me just pull over. Cause you can't, you need somebody to stay in the car. So I said, yo, let's get some, you know, get a couple packs, you know. And then that was it. He just, nobody tells me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, like, damn.
I was ready. I swear. And it was a big lesson for me. You know, it happened like 30 years ago, something.
Wait,
like
what?
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Should
What'd you do?
For him?
Did you just, like,
yeah, you should get him on the show. I don't know. I don't even know where he is. Shapiro? But I'm just saying, he was funny.
I've heard of him before.
He's funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was it. That was the end of our relationship.
Nobody tells me.
Yeah. It was just like, I wasn't. So that's the other side of ego. He's like, the fuck? This guy's making me get his cigarettes from him. It wasn't like that at all. I couldn't. Somebody had to stay in the car. But that's like the other side of that crazy shit that happens to a lot of people in the arts, right?
Steve Madden bullies Ben Shapiro's comedian cousin.
That's right. That's Ben's. That's gonna be Ben's son, I think.
That's another issue too. It's always a balance when you have friendships that mix with business.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, me and Logan have to walk that line all the time. We're, you know, being really close friends and, you know, the business side of things. And it's like, there's so many little obstacles, like something like that, that could so easily be misread.
Yes.
And then you find yourselves trying to, you know, like, dig yourself out of that hole because did you at least try to say, like, I didn't mean it like that?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Those are very difficult waters.
I don't entertain people like that at all. Like at all in the slightest.
Yeah.
I just simply don't have the time or mental energy.
People that would have that kind of, like, people that would have that kind of mistake. That's probably, it could be me.
I would have been happy to get the cigarettes, but I was driving.
No, it's just like,
I don't care about that.
Even some of the guests in this show, bro, you've seen it. Like, even honestly, the celebrity who I got in the scuffle with last night, like, the moment I feel an inflated ego coming on and, like, insults, coming from that place rather than like some sort of truth or like reality, I'll either snap or just leave.
And that, yeah. Yeah.
I have no business involving myself with that.
It's like it could be ego, but at the same time, I've had these kind of situations here in Hollywood a little bit too, where sometimes it's just also mental inability to understand complex situations. I had this girl who we were getting into an elevator in a $25 million house, going up to the top floor and all this. And she had a breakdown. I'm not going to say who it was. And she started crying and she said, I feel like you guys don't want me here. We had just invited her to come back and hang out. Right. And she said, start crying. And you guys don't want me to be here. I'm a burden on you guys. And I said, please, like, stop. And then she kept going with it. And I go, I'm so sorry. I hate to say it like this, but I don't have the patience or time for this situation right now. We invited you back here to hang out with us. You're in a $25 million house in a fucking elevator crying about some problem that you've created out of nothing, just like that guy did and the celebrity did last night. And it really tests my patience. I think a lot of times, like, not to put someone's pain or struggles above someone else's, but it comes down to like, what have you been through in your life? Because, you know, a lot of times people just start these crazy stories out of fucking nothing.
Yeah. And you have to learn how to tune out from that stuff. You have to learn, you know, it sucks when it's in your environment, but you have to learn how to just completely shut those types of people out.
Hey,
you got an ad for Bluetooth?
No. I was just going to ask, you guys got anything else? You want to go like take a nap?
What's up? What do we got for time?
Take a nap soon.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling slow today.
Up.
Yeah, I want to.
It's good.
I wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
What's it like in prison? What was it like?
Ah, the prison.
You
questions.
Did Fed time, yeah. You did real Fed. You were in.
I did
in
the Feds.
Pen.
Yeah, I did.
Taught
Fed,
a bunch
yeah.
of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did
yeah.
Some good in there.
Yes. Yeah. We taught.
You were in Florida with Coleman.
Coleman. Yeah. Wow. My rap sheet.
Eglin. Now Eglin's a real is the real fucking.
No, right? They're both real. They're
Mike
all real.
Mike knows his prisons.
Mike, they're
no,
all
no, no, no fed time. Real. Never did.
Got a lot
time.
Of people no. in there.
They're all real.
Are those considered tough prisons?
So there's no easy prison.
Of course.
Now there's a penitentiary. You know, that's with the plexiglass where you know, you're like, they touch each other's hands.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the big love story.
Yeah.
I love you.
They, right.
the phone.
Yeah, no, it's not like that, but it's prison.
Did you get a...
You stay, they go, you stay. Yeah. You know, it's bad.
Did you get any special treatment or...
No, none.
You probably none.
None. Yeah? You know, for a second. You know, like somebody will call you up and talk about shoes, and then once they got that out of the way, they treat you like shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate.
How'd you...
Yeah.
How'd you keep going? Like, were there times, I mean, or was it not tough on you?
No. It was very tough. It was very tough. And you just got to accept what's happening. And, you know, like we say, get in the car and go. You know, that's it. Let's ride. That's it.
I mean, you did a fucking stint, dude. Like, that 41 months is
30
long.
Months.
30
months.
You did, what's that, 75%?
Well, you know, with
whatever.
A few things off, but 30 months, yeah.
It's a long time.
Long time.
And then time.
I read you were released in 2000.
Three Christmases. That was...
Did you have kids yet, by the way?
No.
Did you meet the mother of your children after prison?
No. She worked for me.
Is that legal?
I met Wendy.
Didn't the CEO
was a
of some company just get fired for...
Yeah, no, but it was very...
It
no,
just depends on the... Yeah, it no, depends on like how it happens and shit like that.
It was different.
Yeah.
It was different.
Also different.
But we were
different
great.
Time.
We were... She was one of my first employees. She was great, and we got very close. And then in prison, we did not consummate the relationship, you two guys. But we, you know, got together, and it was great. Yeah.
Ted Bundy was fucking in prison.
Yeah.
Ted Bundy is a fucking
Ted Bundy.
But Cassidy.
Not Al Bundy.
But, big difference.
But it was it's terrible. Prison is a terrible thing.
I read you were released in 2005.
Yeah.
And then the company very quickly rebounded, increasing revenue by nearly $100 million in 2006 to $475.1 million.
Yeah.
So you got out.
We exploded when I came out. Had a lot of energy. It was all those push-ups and dips.
Was it? I mean, you see that kind of stuff happen with Optics. The fact that, you know, the CEO's back, you know, the guy that started it all.
Yeah, look
was
what it happened.
Was
Steve Jobs.
You know what I'm saying? Was it a design? Did you come back and do something right, or was it an Optics thing? What gave you the initial blast?
So I had a great team in place. They were rocking and they were kind of holding their own. And I got back. I had a lot of energy and, you know, we just took off. So it was because of that team. If I couldn't have done it without them.
Did you see a bump in sales from Wolf when the movie
you know,
came
we
out?
Got a little, I think in men's.
Really?
I think there was a big men's hit. You know, like young men, like, you know, like all of a sudden it became cool, you know. Mm. And Jordan was a hero to a lot of people. It was the opposite of what we thought, right? But, you know, it was a bump in men's. And that, I can't think of the word they used to describe fame. It's like your Q rating. I can't remember what the fuck it is, but your Q rating went up.
Clout. Your clout.
Steve yeah,
your,
Madden.
Steve. I think we should end like
Madden.
That.
Let's do it.
Steve. Steve. Steve Madden. Should have taken Quaaludes and say Steve Madden. Yeah. Well, it was good to be here.
Yeah, bro. Thanks
yeah,
for coming
on. Yeah, it was good.
On.
You know, it was like a little bit of a therapy session.
Yeah.
It was cool. That. And you guys are much deeper than I thought. It's like good. You got a lot of good stuff happening here.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we try to be versatile.
Yeah,
I think hands down we're probably the most versatile podcast with the range of our guests and what we can talk about. That's why it's called Impulsive.
It also depends on when you get us too. You got us on a fucking stream.
Sunday night, you guys are calm. Yeah. Not crazed. It's good.
This is the most calm you'll ever see me.
Yeah,
you can ask him. I mean, after the show, he usually beats the shit out of me for talking a little time.
All right, cool, man. Do you have any social medias? Do you want them to follow you on?
No, we're in all the social medias.
There we go.
We're on them all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Madden.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching this episode of Impulsive, the #1 podcast in the world. We love you. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.